Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Kim Addis.
Hello, hello. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm thrilled that you pronounced my name so perfectly.
Awesome. Kim is the president and founder of Frame of Mind Coaching and Journal Engine Software. She's an author, speaker, entrepreneur, coach, and a mother of five. Kim is recognized as one of North America's leading experts on performance through thought mastery. Kim and her team works with executives, entrepreneurs, leaders, business owners, and other highly driven people to help them reach new levels of accomplishment and to live outstandingly successful life. Whether for business success or personal transformation, the foundation of Frame of Mind Coaching is that a person's thinking has greater impact on their outcomes than any other contributing factors. Kim, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm really, really, truly happy to be here.
Yeah. Tell us about your background and what led you to do Frame of Mind Coaching.
Well, I've always been a studier of leadership, whether it was in school or on a personal level. Ever since I was in high school, I was involved in leadership, at a high school level, and then continued through my undergraduate degree in psychology and then my master's degree. I always studied leadership. And so I've been working on the subject of leadership and leaders for, let's say, the past 30 years. And so before this company, before I started Frame of Mind Coaching, I used to own an assessment company. And our job was to try to identify what are the key characteristics, traits, skills and abilities of top performers. And so we used to build simulation-based assessments to really, really focus on that. How do we choose the right people? How do we choose the people who are really going to succeed in our companies and our businesses? And what we discovered was that, you know what? Everybody has different skill sets, and yes, they're important. Everyone has a different level of intelligence or, you know, mental capacity. And yes, that's important. But nothing is more important than a person's level of emotional resilience. And so what we discovered was that is the key characteristics that determines or differentiates between top performers and other people. So if a person has a high degree of emotional resilience, they're much more likely to succeed than other people. And so that became the foundation and helped me understand, hey, like, you know what? People struggle to succeed because their emotional resilience is weak. What if I could build a business that could help people really build that emotional resilience, build that mental muscle, build that strong sense of self? And so that's when Frame of Mind Coaching was born.
So emotional resilience is the same as EQ, emotional intelligence?
It's not exactly the same. Okay, not exactly the same. So what is emotional resilience? Emotional resilience is the ability to bounce back from adversity with speed and agility and even leverage the adversity. So let me give you an example. When something bad happens, we all kind of take a tumble, we fall, we experience the blow. Some people get up faster, some people stay down a long time. Those people who are able to get up faster have a higher degree of emotional resilience. But I'll even take it one step further. Those people who look at the adversity, the thing that just happened that was bad, and say, how do I leverage this? How do I turn it into an advantage? Those are the people we're talking about. And so, you know, are EQ and emotional resilience connected? Yes, but they're a little bit different. One really talks about mental toughness. The other one is really around how we perceive the world, how we interact with the world. And we need to be able to have a high degree of emotional intelligence in order to have a high degree of emotional resilience, but they're not necessarily one and the same.
I see. And so how do we go about assessing emotional resiliency?
Well, what we do is we look at past experiences and we look at how people react and respond to negative circumstances or events that have taken place. And so when something bad happens, we say, okay, so how did it impact you? How is it still impacting you? You know, how did you respond to it? How is it affecting you even today? And so we look and we assess to see whether or not a person sits in a state of suffering or struggle, or if they say, okay, well, I'm getting up, I'm dusting myself off, and I'm moving forward towards something bigger, grander, better, more inspiring and more peaceful.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. And you have a measuring tool?
So what we do is right now I'm not in the assessment business anymore. We used to be in the assessment business. And so we would ask specific questions related to emotional resilience to be able to assess their mental strength. But in addition to that, in the day when we were building assessments, we would also take people through a series of simulations and watch what they do when things go wrong. Right?
Yeah.
Watch how they react and then assess, bring that to the assessment too.
Yeah. So it's focusing a lot on around mindset and
exactly,
and your attitude towards how you
exactly
approach situations and how you see the world is working for you and not against you.
Exactly. And so from that experience, I ended up understanding like a lot of coaching is built around goal attainment. You know, here are the 10 things you need to do to achieve your goals. As your coach, I'll help you achieve them by holding you accountable. And I felt like that was fundamentally wrong. Like people don't have a problem figuring out what to do. They have a problem doing it, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
There's a distinction there. The question is why? What really stops people from doing the things they know they ought to be doing? Or learning or trying or, you know, disciplining themselves to get done. So what's getting in the way? And that has to do with their thinking. So that's when I decided to start Frame of Mind Coaching to really help people get rid of those stumbling blocks, eliminate them and move them over so that they could, you know, be free to achieve their goals. Kind of like putting someone on a runway and moving all the barriers out of the way so that they can take a running start and fly.
Tell us about the FOM coaching methods that you use.
So we're really interested in how leaders think and how their thinking impacts their outcomes. So how do we do it? We start with a 10-week coaching process. And in those 10 weeks, a few things are taking place. Number one, there's a call every week. And every call is recorded and we ask our clients to listen to the recording. Why? So that they can start to pay attention to how they think, how they show up, where they get triggered emotionally, what bothers them, and how they respond to experiences over time. They can start to pick up their patterns of thought, their patterns of belief, their emotional responses to things. Okay, so that's part one. Part two is that every single day, even on the weekends, for those 10 weeks, we ask our clients to journal in an online journal with their coach. So at the beginning of the week, they get a journaling question or a prompt and they start journaling. And as they start journaling, their coach reads and responds to their journal. And that's happening every single day. What is the coach doing? They're digging. They're going deep, 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 deep. Why? To really understand the core of how they show up, how they're wired, what they believe to be true. And so what, you know, why do we do it like this? Because the coach needs a whole lot of data to be able to coach them effectively. The second thing is that the client and the coach need to build a relationship. If the client doesn't trust the coach and if the client doesn't feel that the coach really understands them, they're not getting ahead. They're going to put, kind of like brakes on the process. And we need to eliminate as many brakes as possible. So we're using this tool of journaling to build intimacy and to move the client quickly. Because everyone likes to move fast,
yes,
right? They want to see results quickly. So we need to drive that. And so it's an intense process. It's very, very intimate, but the results are astounding. People change in a short period of time.
You don't run into issues with, sharing personal information and
no.
The notion of, I won't put this in there because somebody else is going to look at it.
No. So they sign up and they understand that this journal is just between them and their coach. right? They understand that privacy is really critical, but it's an exchange that's taking place between two people. And so they also understand that the more they reveal, the faster things move. But also our coaches are extremely skilled at getting to the heart of matters, even when a person is, you know, protecting themselves.
Right. Journaling with the coach, and journaling is always an effective way to actually reflect and see where you've come and what your thought process is.
Right. So journaling on your own is extremely useful. Journaling with a coach, a trained, a skill coach, is a game-changing experience.
Mm, I believe that. And now you are coaching coaches. Correct.
Yes. So we train coaches in what we call the frame of mind coaching process, not just coaches, but leaders. So people who really have an important role to play in their communities, in their businesses, if they're, you know, managers, leaders, community leaders, any, even parents, right? People who want to do a better job of coaching people around them. We train them how to coach using our very specific approach, methodology, style, principles, framework, etc.
And you get them plugged in into your system using your trademark FOM coaching methods.
Correct.
And then they get access to the journal.
Yes, that's correct. So I have a team of coaches. Those coaches are all using our method. We also have a bunch of people who are not our coaches who are, you know, want to learn our method too. And we teach it to them, and then they go, because we coach leaders, but some people want to coach, let's say, mothers, single mothers. Some people want to coach people who maybe are struggling with some kind of illness, or people who are recovering from abuse or whatever, right? Everybody mm-hmm. has a certain market they want to approach. They can still use our methodology to coach those people.
Yeah, you're very unique in that sense that you have a tools. You have the tools in place for coaches to utilize to add impact, to add value.
That's right. That's right.
To share with us what the FOM coaching core values are.
So we have five core values. Now, let me kind of go back and share with you how they came about. We did not sit down together as a team and say, what do we want our core values to be? Like, we didn't have that discussion. The discussion went like this. What are the values we are already living? What are the values that when we look at our behavior, we look at everything we do, everything we touch, every communication we have, how would we describe what we do, right? What are the values that we use to describe what's already part of our DNA? And so we came up with five core values. Number one is generosity. And what we mean by that is really generosity of time, generosity of spirit, generosity of caring internally and externally. So with each other as a group, but also a huge amount of generosity with our clients. So for example, you know, one of my coaches, for example, discovered that her client loves to paint. And what did she do? She sent her a series of canvases to start painting. Like, that was not necessary, not mandatory, not expected. And so she went over and above. Like, she just does those kinds of things. She has that generous spirit. Number two is integrity. So making sure we're always doing the right thing. That's very, very important to us, again, internally and externally. Always being truthful, always being honest, always saying, keeping our promises and keeping our word. That's very important to us. Number three is leadership. So we feel like we are leaders in the coaching industry, in the coaching field. We're kind of ahead of the curve. We're doing things that other people aren't doing. Our technology is always moving ahead, but also we coach leaders. So leadership and being leaders and working with leaders and developing leaders is central to what we do and what we're interested in. Number four is personal development. Like, at the end of the day, when you look at our coaches, every single one of our coaches has been a client first. So everybody in the company is committed to their own personal development. And that's critical. It's a critical foundation for being able to help other people with their own personal development. So that's central to what we do and what we believe in and what we stand for. And last but not least is intimacy. So when we go through the coaching process, it's very intimate. We get personal, right? And it's not just that our clients get personal with us, we get personal with them. So contrary to therapy and contrary to most coaching systems where there's an arm's length relationship between the coach and the client, you know, that creates kind of like a, you know, a healthy boundary. We tear down those boundaries. Why? Because our clients need to know who we are and where we're coming from. They need to believe without a shadow of a doubt that we are 100% in their corner. And so intimacy is the cornerstone of that experience.
Tear down those walls.
Tear them down. Yeah.
I hear you loud and clear. And for somebody who is coming off, who wants to be a coach or who has the skill set to do it, but don't have a clientele yet, do you work them through that?
So, I mean, we're not here to teach people how to build a coaching business. Our core foundation is we can help you learn to deliver an outstanding coaching experience for your clients. Mm-hmm. There are lots of coaches out there that teach you marketing and sales and all that. That is not our area of expertise. That's not what we do. What we strictly do is we teach you to understand your client and help them move from point A to point B in a powerful and rapid manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the coaches you're working with, you said they were client themselves. So they have the mindset. They have buy-in to understand how to effectively help.
That's exactly right. They went through the coaching process. They said, holy smokes, that was unbelievable. How do I bring this more into my life? How do I use this methodology to impact the lives of others? And that's how it happened.
That's fantastic work. Kim, tell us, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
My morning routine. So I'll tell you a secret. I don't think I've ever said this on any podcast, but I always, always, always 24/7 have a song in my head. Always. And so I wake up and I turn to my husband and I say to him almost every day, what song is in my head today? And he takes a guess. And that's this little game we play. But music is a very important part of our routine. We put something on in the morning, but I take the time for myself. I spend some time doing maybe a little stretching, a little journaling, a little reading. I carve out time. So I actually don't come to work until a little later on because I take that time in the morning for myself.
How long does it take you to get through your morning routine?
Depends on the day, but I carve out about 45 minutes, an hour for myself. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crucial. Self-care. Because if you're not healthy, you are really can't serve anyone else.
That's right. And the journaling component is important because it helps me clear up anything that's lingering in my brain, but it also helps me set my mindset for the day. You know, here's where I'm going. Here's what I want. Here's what I want to achieve. Here are the things that are bothering me that I need to move forward from. You know, here's how I want to address some problems. There are lots and lots of techniques for journaling and I use them all.
Yeah. It's mind mapping.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's organizing your day. It's not just your day, but even beyond that, right? Because you're assessing what you feel like. You're assessing what you got to deal with and how much energy left was going to take.
Well, yes. And that's a tactical component. But I would tell you this, that journaling is a powerful tool for setting your mood, for managing your emotional state. And if your emotional state is out of control, very little gets achieved. And that is the foundation of really achieving huge goals, is being able to manage your emotional state and your energy, et cetera. But your emotional state is the core of what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, because when you're writing, it could be anything. It forces you to become aware. It forces you to be present in the moment.
That's exactly right. That's right.
Yeah, you'll recall that moment more, and you will recall just being so present and so mindful that you kind of want to do it again the following day.
That's right.
You want to increase that habit.
That's right. I mean, historically, you know, everybody goes through kind of times in their lives when they're journaling or not journaling, or, you know, you take a break. Like, undeniably, when I am journaling, I am able to reach my goals with greater ease. No question.
Yeah, same here. I do a journal myself, and I actually just launching an app in for morning routines that entrepreneurs have expressed that have like been monumental in their transformation and their success. And one of them is journaling. And I add that in the app because it really helps you know where you were, and then map out where you're going.
Amazing. I'd love to hear more about it after.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I really love the journaling aspect of your morning routine and the meditation. And it's very Very subtle, but it's impactful, right? The meditation of just like calming down the mind, focusing on the present moment, or just observing your breath. Like, it does so much throughout the day.
Well, you know, I want to hear something very interesting is that not everybody is comfortable meditating. Not everybody knows how to do it. Not everyone can sit silently. You know, when we were kids, we weren't taught to meditate, but we were taught to write. You know, we're taught to take a paper and a pen and write our ABCs. Mm-hmm. So writing comes to us with greater ease. And so actually journaling is a form of meditation. Why? Because your brain always works faster than your pen or than your typewriting skills. Your brain is always working faster. And the moment you are journaling is the moment you're forced to slow down your brain, even in between words. It's really interesting, but it is definitely a form of meditation.
I love that correlation. I'm going to use that. I like that a lot because that makes complete sense. Because that momentary, like, you have to be present. You have to actually slow down your thought process. You have to actually make it clear. You can write it down.
That's right. That's right.
It's really phenomenal. I love that. Journaling is a form of meditation. That's perfect. Kim, how can we connect with you?
So best way to connect with me is come to the website, frameofmindcoaching.com. There's a ton of information. There's a complimentary coaching call. But you know, if you're okay with it, I'd love to give your audience a challenge. Are you good with that?
Yes.
Okay. So whoever's listening, take a piece of paper and a pen, and I'm going to give you a journaling question. Actually, two. Write them down. Number one, what do I really, really want more than anything? So why two reallys? Because I want you to think about what you truly deeply want, not what someone wants for you, not what you think you should want, not what is expected of you, but deeply, truly down in your core, what is it that you want? And question number two is, what's stopping me from having it? Write down all the reasons. Now, doing that on your own will provide you with great insight. But if you want to take it one step further, send it to me and I will send it to one of my coaches who will read and review that journal with you. So my email address is kim@frameofmindcoaching.com. Try it out.
Ah, fantastic. I will too. We'll answer those questions.
please do. I would love to receive that.
Morning enthusiasts, you've heard it here first. This has been Kim, and it's the value of the show is coaching coaches to be effective using the FOM coaching method. And I really enjoyed the core values you talked about being generous, generosity, intimacy, leadership, personal development, and integrity that you keep that ensures 100% satisfaction with your clients.
That's right.
I really appreciate you coming on and talking about journal. Journaling is a form of meditation, y'all. You've heard it here first. Kim, I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be talking to you, and thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate. But you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.